You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, episode number 52. Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Ulmer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. Welcome to this 52nd episode of the Street Smart Wealth Podcast. I'm Jackie Ulmer, and I'm so excited about today's episode because 52 shows equals 52 weeks, which equals a year. Now, I'm not quite at a year because I believe February 16th, 2013 was my actual first broadcast date, but I did several of them back-to-back to get this podcast launched and out there. So I have done actually 52, so I'm going to kind of celebrate this as my one-year anniversary of doing the podcast since the content is all in place. And I can't be more excited really about today's special interview, my special guest, because I know you're going to really get a lot of value out of my guest. My guest is David Fry. David's a well-known marketer, internet marketer, and network marketer, someone who came to network marketing already as an internet marketer, which he'll share with you as he's sharing his story. But he's got a great story of, you know, getting started, being a marketer, helping small businesses, getting introduced to network marketing and a product that can make a difference in his business, and then literally signing up 120 people the very first weekend that he launched the business side of his network marketing business. Now, that may discourage some of you thinking, what? Oh my gosh, you know, the last thing I want to hear about it from is another superstar who, you know, just went crazy and took it to the moon. But I promise you, if you'll listen in, you're going to glean some amazing details from a very smart marketer who I've learned a ton from, who I'm partnered with today with our Pure Leverage Simple Money System, the online tools to help any network marketer take their business to the internet. Now, you can find the show notes over at jackieulmer.com/052 and find out how to partner with both myself and David if you want to take your business to the next level. But whatever you want to do, or I should say take your business online as well, whatever you do, definitely listen in as David shares some amazing insights as to truly what you can accomplish when you become a marketer, when you understand marketing, you understand what goes into it, and all of that great stuff. And again, the show notes, jackieulmer.com/052, and he shares one particular podcast in there, my podcast on using Facebook, and I wanted to give you the link to that. That show you'll find over, that was episode number 35, so you can go to jackieulmer.com/035 and listen into that on Facebook marketing, how to be effective with that. And now let's get into my interview with well-known marketer and success story, David Fry.
So please help me welcome my special guest today, David Fry. David, thanks so much for taking some time to be here and share some of your great story and your great insights into marketing and network marketing and internet marketing.
Thanks, Jackie, because I've been actually looking forward to this. That's one of my favorite topics.
Well, good. I thought that it was, and you're truly a master at it, and so I want to get right into the details. But before we get started with some of those insights, tell us a little bit of your background before network marketing, before internet marketing. I know that you are and were a marketer to begin with, but tell us a little bit of that background and what led you to that.
Well, I was born in 1963. I'm just kidding. Okay, so when I went to college to become an accountant, actually, and I got a master's degree in accounting from one of the top accounting schools in the nation. And I went out and got my CPA license and everything, and I went through enough accounting to know that that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into some type of consulting and marketing area. And so I became a consultant, And I specialized in doing turnarounds and helping small businesses meet planned earnings that had been acquired by big companies. So when a small company would get acquired by a big company, it was me who went out and helped that company to meet the earnings that they had promised the big company when they got acquired. And so I became very adept at finding hidden assets in the business and creating quick marketing tactics that produced fast results. And that was all in the 90s. And then starting in around 2000, 2001, I started my own marketing business. And I first started out, I wanted to start a marketing company, but then I started to do some research online, and I'd say, you know, I got seduced. I got seduced reading these long-form, hypey sales letters, and I started buying marketing products, and that's when I really started learning internet marketing, and I decided to write a book, an e-book, and to make money from it, because, you know, everyone was making a sink that you could make a lot of money really fast. So I wrote a book about how to make great grades in school, and you can still see it. It's makethegrade.com. It's still there. It's an old site, but I keep it up for, I don't know, old time's sake, I guess. And it was an utter failure until I was watching TV one night and I saw a commercial come up for one of these tutoring companies, Sylvan Learning Center. And I got this light bulb in my head, and I went over to the internet, and I typed in Sylvan Learning Center to see who was advertising on that keyword, and no one was advertising. So I put up a little ad that says, an alternative to Sylvan Learning Center. So when someone typed in Sylvan Learning Center, they'd see that, they'd click into it, and they'd go to a page that talked about how great Sylvan Learning Center is, and then a big link at the bottom of the page that says, for a cheaper alternative to Sylvan Learning Center, click here. And they were led to my site that sold e-books on how to make better grades in school. And all of a sudden, I went from a loser to selling a lot online. And at the same time, I started a marketing newsletter for small businesses. And so that's always kind of been my specialty, is small business marketing. I wrote a book, an e-book, called The Small Business Marketing Bible, which has been one of the most successful marketing books online. And then I created some other products called the Coaches and Consultants Marketing Bootcamp, Instant Referral Systems. All of them were for independent professionals or small business owners, and they were all big hits online. So it kind of launched me into the world of internet marketing. But all this time, I was sending out this newsletter. It was called Marketing Best Practices Newsletter. And I would send out this newsletter, and I gained a lot of followers. And little by little, every time an email crossed my path, I put them on a newsletter. Every time I met someone in person, I put them on my newsletter. And for 5 years, I networked with people on and offline, always gathering email addresses to put on this newsletter. And so, you know, by 2005, I had, I don't know, probably about 30,000 people on my newsletter that were receiving messages from me every single week. So if you want to call that a follow-up system, that was a follow-up system, and still a really good one nowadays. And that's kind of led me, I would say that list of people that were on my newsletter has kind of been at the root of all my successes, both in internet marketing and also network marketing.
Okay, so 30,000 on your list by 2005. When did you start developing that list?
Probably real late in the year 2000, real early in the year 2001, right around there. Probably more toward, I would say maybe more toward the middle of 2001. Anyway, somewhere around there.
Okay. And were you, when you would meet people, would you ask them permission? Did you just put them on there?
I'd get their business card and I'd say, hey, I have an email newsletter that I send out every week that gives marketing tips. Would you mind me putting you on that newsletter? And no one ever said no.
Great.
So I'd get their email address, put them on the newsletter. But a lot of my followers came from just people finding me online as well.
So you were
also
doing a combination all along, online and
yeah,
online.
Yeah, one other thing, Jackie, is I became a consultant to the hot tub retail industry and pool builders. And I did a lot of speaking there, and I did a lot of speaking for the Small Business Development, the Association of Small Business Development Centers. And I did a lot of speaking for them on small business marketing. And every time I would go to speak, I would hand out this piece of paper that offered them a free ebook and a couple of other things in exchange for their email newsletter, and they would either leave it on the desk or hand it back to me. And so whenever I went to speak, I always got the email addresses of everybody that was in the room, and I would add them to my newsletter. And those were always the best followers that I had because they had seen me in person and knew who I was in a face-to-face environment.
Which is important because the relationship matters no matter what, right?
Yes, and there's different levels in an escalation of a relationship. You know, when someone comes to your website and they see you, they feel like at least they know who you are. When they join your newsletter and they start receiving emails from you, now they get to know you a little bit. When they hear you speak, now it's live. And relationship just, you know, increases dramatically. And then they have a one-on-one phone call with you, and now you have a very personal relationship, and eventually you meet one-on-one in person, and now you become friends, like real friends. And so each one of those is an escalation in your relationship. And so you should always be trying to escalate the relationships of the people that you know. And now with social media, it's easier than ever. They can see all kinds of details about your life online.
Oh, this conversation can go in so many different directions, and I wish we had 2 hours because there's so much to cover and so many good little nuggets that you just said right then and there.
We could talk about social media till the end comes home, you know, till the cows come home, because you and I both are very, very involved and very successful with social media.
Yeah, it's true. And yet, I mean, once you get it, you get it, you know, like it makes so much sense. And yet there's just such a disconnect for so many people really understanding how that works. So, but you and I both know that, and that is definitely another conversation. Well, let's talk quickly then kind of about at what point you were introduced to network marketing and kind of how that went. And then I definitely want to come back to, you know, the marketing piece, the difference between marketing and online marketing, and a lot of the things that you have amazing insights about. So tell us a little bit about your introduction to network marketing, how that went, and then we'll keep going.
Okay. I've always found that when one door closes for me, God opens another door for me. And that's just kind of how my career has always been. In my internet marketing career, I had discovered this little thing called Google AdSense. I won't even go into what it was, but it was a gold mine for a lot of people. And I built a whole business around it and made a lot of money from that. And then Google started shutting people down, and I was one of those people. So my window started closing. And right at that time period, I was sent a greeting card from somebody. And in my office, my consulting office for the pool and spa industry, we were doing a bunch of follow-ups manually with people. We would send, like, for instance, what's the name of that software program? But anyways, we would put leads in a software program, and then we would do follow-up sequences with them. So we would send, like, day one, a postcard, day 10, a letter, day 20, a special report. You know, we would do all these follow-up sequences, and we messed them all up. It was terrible. I actually had a high school guy that would come over and do it in the afternoon, and he spent about seven hours a day doing that up until the evening, and it still was just a mess. And this guy sent me a card, and I asked him one question. I said, can you set this card up into a sequence where you can just, you know, personalize it and everything, and then you push the button, and it will automatically go out all on its own in the sequence over the time period that you want? He said, yes. And I said, well, sign me up. I didn't even know it was a network marketing company. Had no idea. And I used it for about 6 months, and it was awesome for my business. It dramatically increased my sales. We started doing all kinds of different cross-selling follow-ups and relationship building. We started a birthday card campaign where people would email me and call me up almost crying because no one had remembered their birthday, but I remembered their birthday, and I didn't even know who they were. They were just a customer. But this thing was all automated, and it was creating these relationships, and it was just fantastic. And so I called a guy up who signed me up into this program, and I said, now, didn't you mention at one time that you could make money from this? He said, yes. And so he talked to me a little bit about it. And in November of 2005, I launched that business, never expecting to do any type of network marketing. In fact, I didn't like MLM at all because of what my peers' opinions were of it. And none of it was positive. So all my marketing friends would look down on network marketers and MLM and stuff like that, the Ponzi scheme, scam, pyramid scheme, all this stuff. And so I didn't want anything to do with it. I just wanted to make some quick money off this product because it was so awesome. And people were signing up and saying, ah, Dave, I'm so glad to be on your team, you know, and I'm like, team, what team, you know? I don't have a team. You just bought the product. So we signed up 120 people that weekend as distributors, all right, because I made more money when they signed up as a distributor. That's the only reason I did it. And I never called them. I never did a webinar. I never did any training. Never did anything with these guys. And then people started signing up other people, and before I know it, I was making about $5,000 a month. And, you know, one of the head distributors called me, and he said, have you ever looked inside your back office? I'm like, no. He showed me my back office and how all these people were coming in. I'm like, how's that person coming in? Well, this person invited that person. I'm like, well, how'd that person come in? Well, this, you know, it was just a total epiphany for me. It was like, holy cow, that's amazing. That's the best membership website I've ever seen. And I got excited about it. But I still didn't have MLM in my heart. And one time that year, I was asked to come to the convention because they were going to give me some award. I didn't want to. You know, in fact, I even told them, I'm not into all that hype, jumping up and down stuff, or these MLM things. It's all a bunch of brainwashing. No thanks. But then they told me it was going to be in Salt Lake City, and I had a sister living there at the time. I'm like, well, maybe I can go there, and I'll combine my visit with attending their convention. And so I did. And by the middle of the first day, I believe it was, I was standing on a chair and jumping up and down, whoo, 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 you know, and I was drinking the Kool-Aid. And that really was a turning point for me in a big way. And I thought, you know, I'm making money residually off this thing. It's an awesome product. My checks have gone up and up and up and up. It's the best promotion I have ever done because my checks keep going up. Usually in a marketing promotion, you get a lot of money. Your checks start going down after that. This was totally opposite. And these people are so awesome, and this environment is so awesome. Like, why not do it? And that's when I started building that business.
And so did you begin to educate yourself about network marketing and leadership and growing a team?
Yes.
And embrace some of that?
Yes, a lot of that leadership happened within my own company. I listened to trainings from those leaders. But then I stepped outside of my company and I started reading books. I remember reading, you know, Your First Year in Network Marketing by, you know who that is.
Mark Yarnell.
And yeah. Mark Yarnell. And I started reading other books and started to become really educated on leadership. And also I just started learning by doing. And so I would hold team meetings and I would do trainings and I would just learn by doing it. So I can't say I really ever had a mentor, because the sponsor that brought me in, he was gone, you know, not long after I started promoting. In fact, I don't think I've ever had a conversation with him. I've had a conversation with him once or twice, and he did come to the bench convention, I think, once. But really never had any interaction with the guy. And he was making six figures a year off of my team, which goes to show you really don't need an upline sponsor to, you know, be successful in this thing. It's all about you and your own personal development and not having to rely on anybody else.
You know, some people are listening to this right now and shaking their heads thinking, man, how come I can't get lucky like that? I mean, how come it can't hit for me like that? I've been in multiple programs and I've talked to dozens and hundreds of people. What do you have to say to those people?
Well, what I would have to say is it took me 5 years to build that list to get enough people to have trust in me that when I made a recommendation, they ran and signed up. It took me 5 years of diligently taking time, sometimes multiple times a week, to write a really, really good content-oriented article that I know would be a benefit to them, to send it out to them. I took phone calls. I did customer service. So I networked a lot in those 5 years, both on and offline. I did public speaking all over the place. So I would gather, like I mentioned, their contact information. So 5 years, I worked my butt off to create a network of people that knew me, liked me, trust me, and they would remember me, because every time I'd send out an email, they'd go, oh, there's Dave Fry. 5 years. 5 years. So, yes, I was a 5-year overnight success. And by the way, I think anybody can do what I did. I mean, serious, today, if you have like an autoresponder system, right? And really, you don't even need a website. If you just have an autoresponder system that you can follow up and continue to communicate with people, every time you meet someone, you tell them you have a little newsletter that goes out. Can I put you on the newsletter? You get their email address. You put it in there, and, you know, you send out, nowadays, you send a newsletter every day, every other day. But it's got to be great content that will bless their lives, and they'll keep opening them up. They'll keep reading them, and you'll establish a relationship. You can establish a relationship with text, audio, and video nowadays in amazing ways. So I think an autoresponder system might cost like $20 a month. And every time you meet somebody, just get their email address, put them on it, and start sending a newsletter out a couple times a week. And the newsletter only has to be, you know, not more than 100 words. I mean, it can be short if you want.
It's something that offers value.
That's right. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And I'm telling you, most anybody can do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the differences, or a lot, about the differences that you see as a marketer who came on, you know, into the online world. Tell us from your perspective what the differences are and where some people are missing the boat with that.
Okay, so this is going to be a little bit long, because I want to really go through some of the mindset shifts that I had to make. It was a difficult journey, because I've been a marketer for such a long time. And some of the marketing tactics and marketing mindsets mainly don't lend themselves to being a successful network marketer. And so you've got to make a mindset. Those people who use internet marketing for their network marketing business and are successful at it really have to make a mind shift. And let me talk about a couple of things. So number one, network marketers always think long-term residual income, and marketers always think short-term profits. So marketers always want to make that quick hit. They want to make money now. They're not used to waiting a long period of time and working, putting a lot of time and effort for a long period of time to making huge profits. On the other hand, network marketers understand that in the beginning, you're going to be overworked and underpaid. And over time, you're going to be grossly overpaid and underworked. And I can tell you by actual experience, that is true. For the last 5 years, I've been grossly overpaid and heavily underworked. Now, I was overworked and underpaid for a couple of years, at least I think I was. But since then, I've been grossly overpaid and totally underworked. But it takes time. And a marketer needs to be patient and understand it's long-term residual income that you're looking for. And you've got to do some work in the beginning to get there. Okay, so the second thing, the second mind shift, I think, is network marketers think about activities rather than results. Okay, so marketers will send out a campaign and they want to see the results of that immediately. Okay, while network marketers, they don't focus so much on the outcome or the result. They focus on the activities because they know that if they do high-value daily activities, the results are going to come. And that is that's a real mind shift because, again, this takes patience. If you're focusing on daily activities that doesn't immediately produce a result, a financial result, it takes patience and it takes belief that that's going to happen for you. And I struggled with that. But, I made the shift. The third thing is network marketers think, when they think about people, they think about business builders rather than retail users, okay? There's a saying that Randy Gage once said, you can't retail your top to the your way to the top of the pay plan. You can only sponsor your way to the top of the pay plan. So what that means is you can't make big money in network marketing by just signing up a bunch of retail users. Now, marketers focus on retail users. They focus on customers. They're not looking for other people to go build their business. They're focusing on that retail user. Network marketers think about developing leaders, people who will go out and build their business for them. So you guys will experience this eventually when you have a successful network marketing business that you'll come to a point where you see, 10, 20, 30, maybe even 50 people out there working super hard to achieve their dream, but at the same time, it's achieving your dream because you're making a bunch of money. And that's when this business becomes super fun. It becomes really fun when you find your aces and you develop them into real leaders and you're receiving the benefits of that. So network marketers think business builders rather than marketers who think retail users. You can't get to the top of a pay plan just retailing your product. You can only do that by finding and developing business builders. The next thing, the next mind shift is thinking relationships rather than transactions. Okay, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Marketers think about making the transaction. So it's very short term. How many things can we sell today? How many things did we sell this week? How many things did we sell this month? Right? While network marketers think about relationships because they know that the relationships will bring long-term results. So marketers really don't care too much about the people that buy their stuff. They just want the transaction. While network marketers think about developing relationships with people so that they will be around as business builders for a long time. And that causes long-term residual income. And I would much rather make $10,000 a month for years and years and years and years than $200,000 in 1 year or $300,000, even a $500,000 in 1 year. I would rather make $10,000 a month over a long period of time. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Now, the next The next mind shift that I had to make personally is thinking about the potential of one rather than the power of many, okay? And by that, I mean, when you're a marketer, you want to advertise to tons of people, and you want to sell to a lot of people. But in network marketing, one person can make you millions of dollars. And so as a marketer, they don't want to make phone calls and talk to that one person or develop that one person or fly out to see that one person or sit down with that one person on a phone for a couple hours. They don't want to do that. They want to always get in front of tons of people. But in network marketing, one person can make you a lot of money. And like in your case, I've always remembered the story about Jordan Adler where, you know, he sponsored a lot of people, but it wasn't until he sponsored someone that sponsored Jackie Ulmer where he made his first $1 million. Am I right about that?
Yes, except he did sponsor me personally.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that one person, and I'm in a situation right now where one person that I sponsored is making me a lot of money, that one person. And I work very closely with that person. And so that's another mind shift. That was one of the huge mind shifts I had to make. I couldn't stand being on the phone with one person. I couldn't stand the thought of flying out just to meet with one person without knowing for sure whether that person was going to be a superstar or not. But in network marketing, one person can mean the difference between you making a little bit, you making a ton of money. Another one was that network marketers think about one-on-one conversations, and this goes right along with what I just said. Network marketers think about one-on-one conversations rather than marketers who think about bulk communications. Now, I say that part of my success in the beginning with network marketing is that I did do bulk communications and emails and followed up with a lot of people. But when they decided to eventually I learned that you can do bulk communications, but where the relationships really happen is on a one-on-one conversation. And so I started doing a lot of one-on-one conversations, and that dramatically made my business grow. Here's another one. Network marketers always think simplicity, and marketers think slickery. Okay. As a marketer, we want everything to be slick, you know, awesome, polished. Bing, bang, pow. But in network marketing, that works against you. Because if people don't think they can do it, they won't do it. If they see all your slick stuff, they think to themselves, well, I can never do that. And so I just won't do it. While network marketers always focus on simplicity. Like, don't implement any type of marketing method if it's not like 1, 2, 3 simple. Right, so I like to think of marketers as this, you know, big equation, and I like to think of network marketers as 1 + 2 = 3, you know. So you need to make everything simple. That was tough for me because I always wanted to improve on the process and, you know, make my own stuff and make sure that I was being branded. And I wasted so much time in the beginning of my network marketing career trying to create stuff that was too complex for people. While the big hitter in my company was just going, well, just send out a card and send a DVD and walk someone through the system, you know. And he was having duplication like crazy, not me. Okay, now here's another big one too, and this one was a big mind shift for me. Network marketers think about their paycheck, not their themselves, but other people's paychecks rather than their own income. So as a marketer, you're always thinking about, well, how much money am I going to make out of this? While a great network marketer thinks about how much money can I help them make, help my team members make. Because when you help them make a lot of money, then you make a lot of money. But it takes patience. You know, you might help them increase their paycheck. It might take them a year, sometimes 2 years, for their paycheck to go up, which in turn eventually makes your paycheck go up. When as a marketer, I could have, you know, sent out an email blast and made money today. The long-term residual income comes when you're focusing on other people's paychecks rather than your own. And here's another one. As a marketer, I always thought about my needs. When a network marketer needs to think about their time. So what I mean by that is, as a marketer, I want you to sign up right now. When I talk to you, I want to convert you right now. Great network marketers know that people need multiple touches. They don't make decisions on their first interaction with you. They'll always make a decision on their time. You keep following up, sometimes over years, because situations might change in their lives where now they're ready to do the thing. So as a network marketer, they're more concerned about people making decisions on their own time, period, rather than the distributor's time period, okay? It was explained to me one time, it's kind of like a clock, right? And people will always say yes and get to work when it's like 12 o'clock high, right? It's their time. They're ready. Whatever circumstances are in their life, the clock is lined up, and now they're ready to go. Most of the time when you come in contact with a person or you invite a person to look at your presentation, it's not on 12 o'clock high. It's on 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And you need to be patient enough to where their clock will hit 12 o'clock high when it becomes their time. You just need to understand that. And the last one, I think, is network marketers think about co-opetition rather than competition. So in my marketing business, you know, if you're in my niche and you're selling complementary things, you're my competition. Now, the weird thing, as weird as it might sound, in network marketing, you have thousands of people all selling the same product. You know, you would think that that would cause just massive amounts of competition. Like, you wouldn't want to talk to anybody because they're your competitor. They're selling the same thing that you're selling. And they might even be selling it in the same area, the little town that you're selling. But network marketers know that you are partners in this thing, that you have to cooperate with each other to make a lot of money. Rather, marketers look at everybody and says, that's my competition. So these are huge mindset shifts that I had to make when I came into network marketing as a marketer that I had to overcome. And if you're a marketer listening to this, if you haven't done network marketing, or you're early in your network marketing career, you'll have to make these mind shifts too in order for you to become successful. Does that make sense, Jackie?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It makes great sense, absolutely. And, you know, the burning question, of course, is, I mean, you got that and you were willing to make that shift. How does one go about guiding their team members to understanding delayed gratification and those mindset shifts and all of that?
You know, two things, I think, is just regular training, maybe three things. The second thing would be telling stories. And then the third thing was helping them to discover it on their own. Okay. I think the best training tool ever invented is a story. Real life case study stories. Like, what happened in the real life to that person that got them from point A to point B? And so if you want to teach somebody about these mind shifts, then find somebody who's gone through it and tell their stories, right? That is in itself the educational process. The second thing is, you know, or the first thing I talked about is just, you know, do training on it to help them to move through it. Coach them to help them to move through it. And the final thing is, I think that you need to help them develop their own self-development plan. I think a lot of my epiphanies have been when I've been going to live events, okay, and I call that part of my own self-development plan. When I go to live events, I start to understand a lot of things about my company, about my belief in network marketing, and things like that. So one of the things I always try and do is, you know, promote from event to event and get as many people as possible come to these live events so that they can make these mind shifts that they need to become successful.
Good advice. Very good advice. So kind of going back to the list a little bit, because the list has been, you know, that's a very pivotal part of our conversation here and what you've done to be successful prior to network marketing, certainly into network marketing and going forward. So let's talk a little bit about the importance of building that list and then how to build that. You know, once you have somebody on your email list, that's great, but then what? Like, how do you build on that relationship? What type of content do you deliver to them? How do people figure out that piece?
Okay, I'm a big advocate of this. Personally, I think there are three things that all, you know, if you want to be super successful in network marketing, that people should have. And one of the most important things of those three is building a list of people that know you, like you, trust you, and remember you. And that list nowadays, while we're speaking in this time period, can be at least two different types of lists, or even three different types of lists. You should have a social media list, and that social media list consists of people who are following you in some sort of way, whether they're following you on Twitter, whether they're following you through Facebook, or they're a fan of your fan page or something like that. So you have a list that you develop through social media, and then there's an email list. I don't think email is ever going away, and these are people that you can email directly. There's other lists, like having a list of cell phone numbers that you can text. And so, you know, you can email people, and in your social media platform, you can ask people to join your, you know, texting club, where you text tips out on a daily basis or every other day. Okay, so what these lists do is they allow you to ping people. There's a book called Never Eat Alone, and the author talks a lot about pinging, and that's the essence of relationship building. And pinging is just reaching out to somebody in an effective and personal way so that they remember you and they trust you and they like you. And you can ping in a lot of different ways. You can ping with a telephone call. You can ping with a personal visit. You can ping with a text message. You can ping with an email. You can ping people through social media. There's a lot of different ways. For me, I think my email list is probably the most important list that I have right now in this day and age, the most important list that I have to ping people. The second most important list might be my social media list. And that might be changing a little bit. I don't know. You know, technology is changing so fast nowadays, and ways we communicate with people is changing so fast that who knows what it might be next year. But as we speak here today, my email list is probably the most important list. My social media list is the second most important list. And I use my social media presence to get people back on my email list because, again, my number one preference or way of communicating with people. Both are very, very powerful. You can get, you can build a relationship through your social media list, I would say, a lot easier, a lot better, more profound, a lot deeper relationship, more emotional relationship than you can with email. Also with email, you can send out emails and send them to videos that are on your blog. And when people watch videos of you, that escalates the relationship. Remember that escalation ladder of relationships? That escalates your relationships. And so I would say anybody coming into this profession, I would say one of the core skills that they need to create is I think it's more important than, man, I won't start naming things off because other networkers might not agree with me, but I think creating an email list is pretty darn important, and I think, Jackie, you would agree with that because you've become a number one earner in one company. You've become the number one recruiter in other companies. You've become a top earner in your own company right now, and a lot of it is a result of the email list that you have and the relationships you're able to develop it. So let's move our conversation just for a moment to relationships and building relationships through these email lists and social media lists. I have found, okay, so Ken Dunn, who is now, I think he's a company owner now. He was a superstar distributor in several companies. He gave me a piece of advice once. He says, you know, if you really want to connect with somebody and you're doing public speaking, you should do this exercise. You should get a piece of paper, put a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, write out all the tragedies and very difficult moments that you've had in your life. And then on the right-hand side, take each one of those tragedies and difficult moments and write down how that has helped you to develop yourself or help you become successful in your network marketing business. So then when you go and speak, your speech, your presentation should be a lot about these difficult moments in your life and how they've helped you. And why did he tell me that? I believe the reason is that when you open yourself up in a very authentic way and talk about some of your weaknesses, failures, and drawbacks, people can connect with that because they've had them too. And many people feel like they have weaknesses and their failures in some parts of their lives. So it brings you down to their level. And in a weird kind of way, you know that old saying, misery loves misery? Well, people like to know that you are real and that you've gone through some of the miserable parts that they have had to go through in their life. And when that happens, there's this connection that happens. I don't know if you've ever sat down with somebody and talked about, well, you know, we adopted our children. I know that you didn't. You have two beautiful children, but we adopted our children. I've seen my wife sit down and talk to another mother who's adopted children, and those guys have a conversation that's on such a deep level that that it's quite amazing. They create a bond so quickly, and it's because they talk about this common thing that they experienced that was very difficult for them, and they both relate to each other. And so what does that have to do with building relationships through email and through social media? Well, I think you should be authentic. I think you should be very open about your life. There are things that you need to keep private, no doubt about it, okay? And you yourself kind of know the line. But if you have things that you've struggled with and you've overcome, and those are things you could share with people to help open yourself up to them, and they will start to love you, or at least like you. They'll want to listen to you. When you send something out to them, they'll want to read it. And when that happens, they'll be open to listening to you when you have something to recommend to them. Because isn't that what network marketing is all about? It's about building relationships with people that when you do have some type of opportunity, they will at least give you the time of day, might even be a couple minutes, to just listen to what you got to say. You know, have you ever had somebody that signed up with somebody else in your company, but you had approached them, and they just flat out shut you down, and then you find out later they've signed up with somebody else? And you're going, well, how can that happen? Well, it was because they were able to connect or had a better relationship with that person, that when they asked them or they invited them to take a look at it, the person had a good enough relationship with them that they would suspend their judgment long enough to take a look at what they got. Does that make sense, Jackie? Sorry, I just kind of rambled
on. No, that was great and very powerful and so true. I mean, yeah, I've always said I think one of the reasons that I've had the success I've had is because I've always been willing to share my many failures as much or more than my success.
All two of them.
That makes you relatable. Yeah. Right. Don't I wish.
You want to talk about how to create a list a little bit?
Yes, please.
Well, I think as a brand new person, if you're listening to this and you have zero knowledge about internet marketing, you're in luck. Because up until about maybe 4 years ago, if you wanted to build a list online, you really didn't need to know a lot about internet marketing. But with the advent of YouTube, with Facebook, with Twitter, with LinkedIn, with all these social media sites, you can now start building a list pretty easily. All those sites were developed with the brand new person in mind. So you can get on Facebook and pretty darn quickly, even if you've never been exposed to any type of internet marketing, you can start interacting with people and building relationships with people and starting to build a list, because those sites are designed for brand new people who have no technological skills whatsoever. Facebook would have never become as popular as it is, and I think the stats are, at least here in the United States, 6 out of 10 people, almost 7 out of 10 people, are on Facebook right now. So if you think about that, think about all the technically challenged people that are out there in the United States that you know, they're on Facebook. So it's got to be a pretty simple platform for them to get on. So start in the world of social media and just start networking. And I always tell people the very, very first thing that you should do, and by the way, Jackie has a really good podcast about how to market on Facebook. You should listen to that podcast because she goes step by step through the high level of what I'm about to give you. And so I think, first of all, let's just take Facebook, because I think that's the king of social media right now, at least as we speak. First thing you ought to do is create a really good profile, put an awesome picture that shows your authentic you on the cover. And then the second thing is, you create your profile, create an awesome cover. And then the second thing you should do is sit down offline, get off the computer, and write down the different times in your life and the different roles you have played in your life. So, for instance, you were in grade school. You were in high school. You were in junior high school. You were in college. You were in the military. You were in, you worked at this company. 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 And write all those things down. Now, let's say you lived in 3 different places. Then you write down the 3 different places that you lived at. And then you start writing down names of people that you knew in each one of these time periods and areas of your life. So like me, I went to a school named Loma Heights way back in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And so that would be the very first thing that I would write down. And I would start writing down the names of everybody I knew. I would pull out the yearbook, and I would start writing names of everybody in that yearbook that I knew that knew me, like, if I sent them a friend request, they would say, oh, that's David Fry. Yes, I'd like to be a friend with them. And yes, I know them. I know that person outside of Facebook. And I would make a list of, let's say I was in the military. I would go through any books or any pictures that I had in the military. And I would write down the names of all those people that I could remember in the military. If I was in college, and I did go to college, 5 years of it, I would write down, you know, all the names of all the people that I ever knew in college. Think about some of the classes that you had. Who did you know in those classes? Some of the clubs you were in. Who did you know in those clubs? Now, this is a tedious process, but I'm telling you, you are starting to build your list of people that really know you. Okay, these are people that really know you because they knew you in the offline world. And once you have that list, and it should be at least 300 people, I would say. If you don't have, a lot of people say, well, I don't know 300 people, and that is just not true. If you go through that exercise, and by the way, some companies have a thing called a memory jogger. Use that. Just write down the names of everybody that knew you or knows you, and then go look them up on Facebook. You won't go into the deep way of how to do that. A lot of times it's with the tools that Facebook has nowadays, a lot of times it's just, you know, putting in their name and putting in the name of the city where you knew them from or the high school name, and they'll pop up. And then you send them a friend request and a private message saying, hey, do you remember me? Or, you know, I knew you in school. Just I saw you here on Facebook. Wanted to connect with you. And you do that. And there's other tools on Facebook that will help you find more friends as well. So that's how you start creating a list in social media. So how do you start creating an email list? Well, one of the things that I would suggest is to start collecting email addresses from people and just asking them if you can add them to your email newsletter. That is the manual way of doing that. Another way of doing that is just starting a blog that has a lead capture form on it. Another way of doing that is just creating a landing page and that captures email addresses that you can send people to. So I don't want to get into the technical details of that stuff, but those are very simple ways to start building a list. Jackie, what would you say would be, you know, simple ways of starting an email list?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've hit on all of it. And I mean, it's so funny, and that was my question nearly 14 years ago when I started online is, you know, gosh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. What do I have to say? Who's going to listen to me? How do I go about doing that? But it's like anything. It's like you mentioned in the beginning, going out and networking with people live and face-to-face in the offline world. That's really what I started doing online before Facebook and before Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube and before all the tools today. We had message boards and forums and chat rooms and that kind of stuff. And I just basically did the same thing. And I think like what you say is true. It's easier today with social media if you just do it right and if you just always remember that there's a real person on the end of any communication you put out there, whether it's a status update or a private message or whatever you put out there. Anyone who sees that is a live, breathing human being, and you want to think about how you want to go about building rapport and relationship with them. And when you're doing that in a way that's you know, creates interest, provides value, you become interested in them, then they naturally become interested in you. And then, yeah, the things that you say, you know, from that you can take them back to a simple blog, a simple lead capture page, and have them opt in and begin building that list and, you know, continue to grow that relationship through social media, through Facebook, but then certainly through the emailing of that list and building it there as well. So, yeah, I think they're all just dead on points. And really, it's kind of funny. I mean, I look back and I think, I don't really think that I would do things that much differently 14 years later. You know, it's still people. It's still a relationship, and it's still how you interact with them.
And so how does internet marketing interact with network marketing? Well, I think you use internet marketing for quote-unquote lead generation, and you use network marketing to establish and you can use internet marketing for relationship building, but you also use network marketing for relationship building. So internet marketing allows you to spread your net and find people who are like-minded or who might be interested in the same things that you're interested in or who just know you. And network, and once you get them on your list and you start communicating with them, then you invite them to watch something. And if they raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm kind of interested in this, well, then that's when you have a conversation with them. You take it offline. You call them up and you swap private messages and you start to talk to them. And that's what network marketers are usually very, very good at. And so if you can combine those two skills, you will always have an unfair advantage in network marketing. Why do you think it is that Jackie Ulmer is always the number one income earner and always the number one recruiter? She came into a company that I was in, and within 1 year, she became the number one recruiter. Why is that? Because she spreads a wide net through her internet marketing skills that are basic. Let me tell you, Jackie does not do any whiz-bang things. I've been in internet marketing for a long time, and she keeps it very simple. She has a blog, writes on her blog. She captures email addresses. She sends out emails inviting people to read her message and come back to her blog. And then when they get back on her blog, she says, would you like to partner with me? Or would you at least like to find out what I'm doing? And a lot of people do. That's why she becomes the number one recruiter, because they trust her. They resonate with her. And they are open to just, you know, maybe even being a part of what Jackie's involved in, just because they like her so much, because they want to be, close to her. And that's what I talk about when I say getting people to suspend their judgment just for a moment to listen to what you got. You can only do that with friends or the people that – either friends or people that really respect you. You might not have ever talked face-to-face or even on the phone or anything, but they respect you so much because of the value you've brought to them, they will suspend their judgment for a little bit just to find out whether this thing is right for you or not. So that's kind of the formula. And if you figure out that formula, you'll always have the unfair advantage.
Thanks for that, David. I appreciate that. So what's next for you? What can we look for in the future from Mr. David Fry?
Well, I'm still
marketing guru.
I love network marketing. I love it for a couple of reasons. It brings residual income. You know, when I was really heavy into internet marketing, and I still kind of am, but when I was really heavy and relying on 100% of my income to come from internet marketing, I was hustling. Hustle, 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 hustle. What's the next product? What's the next promotion? You know, it was all transaction-based, and I was just hustling. I worked very hard. Network marketing, one transaction could turn into a very long-term relationship and long-term residual income. That's why I like it so much. And so today I live a very, very stress-free lifestyle as a result of the long-term income I've been able to build with network marketing. So I'll always be involved with some type of network marketing. But at the same time, I'm building my internet marketing presence. And I'm using those two things together to continue to make money in the network marketing arena. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Very good. How can our listeners learn a little bit more about you?
My blog is named marketingblogger.com. So you can go to marketingblogger.com and you can read all kinds of different marketing articles. I've got hundreds of marketing articles on there. If you want to see me on Facebook or connect with me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/dfrey, F-R-E-Y, D-F-R-E-Y.
Very good. Any final thoughts that you want to share before we close out?
Well, I think if you want to become a pro in this profession, there are some core skills that you need to master. And I would say in this day and age, I would have given you a little bit different answer maybe 7 years ago. But in this day and age, my personal belief, now a lot of other network marketing leaders will disagree with me, but this is just coming from me. I think one of those core skills is building a list, specifically a social media list and an email list. And if you can learn that core skill, you will have the world as your footstool in the network marketing world. You'll always be one of the top people in your network marketing business. So my final thoughts to you is dedicate yourself to, you know, following Jackie, and because she teaches this stuff. You can learn how to do this stuff from the information that Jackie has on her blog and the products that she delivers. Thank goodness we have mentors like Jackie that have been there and done it and share their expertise with us. I mean, her little podcast on Facebook marketing is free. It's absolutely free, and you can go listen to it. So dedicate yourself and your time and your talents and energies to learning how to build a following. When you do that, you'll always be one of the top earners.
Excellent. David, thanks so much for taking time. This has just been really power-packed, and I know this will be one that people listen to over and over again because there's so many great nuggets in it and so many pieces to pull out of it and all that. So I really appreciate you being so generous with your time and your knowledge with our audience.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks for having me on. You got some of the best followers in the world. You really do. You know how I know that? It's because usually like-minded people are attracted to each other. And so I know what type of person you are, so I know what type of followers that you have.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I love my followers. I love my mentors, people like you who've been a great mentor to me as well. So I'm just so grateful and blessed and appreciative of all of that. All right. Well, we will call this one a wrap, and thanks again.
All right. We'll see you.
So there you have it, the amazing David Fry with some great examples for you. Some, you know, I loved what he shared about the difference between marketers, network marketers, you know, the short-term money versus long-term residual income, relationships versus transactions. I mean, just really some great nuggets in there. Again, you can access the show notes over at JackieAlmer.com/052. And if you want to listen into that Facebook podcast that he mentioned, you can go to JackieAlmer.com/035. And all of that will be in the show notes as well. So I hope that helps you. Again, thanks for sharing the last year with me. If you haven't listened into all the different podcasts that I've done, please go over to JackieAlmer.com/podcasts. You'll find those categories there. You can go back and listen to all 52 of them, download them, put them on your smartphone, find me on the iTunes app or the Stitcher app. There's a lot of different ways that you can access the podcast. And if you like what you hear, I would love a review or rating over at iTunes. Just hop over there. You can type in Jackie Almer, Street Smart Wealth, Profit in Your PJs, whatever. You'll find me, and that would really mean a lot to me. So in the meantime, have a great week, and I'll see you back next week on another podcast. If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at ProfitInYourPJsNow.com. That's my nuts and bolts on how to be successful in your network marketing business. You can also get more at my blog, JackieAlmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, Facebook.com/StreetSmartWealth, and on Twitter, @JackieAlmer. See you on the next show, and have a fun, profitable week.